complete their great journey. Some will fall victim to Typhon's many dangerous landscapes or creatures. Some will lose themselves. Some may even lose their way in the Force and leave Typhon far behind, scattering out to the system, lost in a much more fundamental way. But as Jedi, we must accept this, because this is not an existence of absolutes. Life is a challenge, and facing that challenge is what makes the good great.
Master Dila Jan Morola, 3533 TYA, Thoyor arrival. Even though she had been away from home for 4 years, Lannery still kept to Typhon time. She was used to it. It suited her natural sleep patterns, and she saw little point in adapting her ship to standard time. In her less guarded moments, she might also admit that it reminded her of home. The computer calculated the optimum flight path from Typhon to Calamar for the time of year and current planet alignments. And before committing to the route, Lannery also calculated it manually. The computer was never wrong in such matters. The navigational elements were programmed and designed by the Jedi's most experienced space travelers. But she was always pleased when her calculations came out the same. Rather than questioning the computer, she was testing herself. Pushing her peacemaker to its limits, it took a little over 7 days to reach Calamar. She used this time to meditate, prepare herself for the coming mission, exercise, and review every aspect of the information downloaded to the peacemaker's computers. There wasn't much. Whatever contacts had informed the Jedi of Dale's scheme had not been very thorough. Rumors, speculation, and a few hazy images. But even in those grainy images of covert meetings and mysterious exchanges, she recognized the face of her brother. He looked older, of course. But she was surprised at how much older, as if he'd lived 3 lifetimes since she had last seen him, not 9 years. He was taller, thinner. His child's sadness translated into adult bitterness. His dusky skin had turned darker and more rugged. And there was something haunting about his blurred visage. Lannery berated herself for letting her thoughts of his death cloud how she viewed him now. Yet the idea remained. Seeing those images of Dale felt like looking at a ghost. "We'll meet again," she said to the screen, "and I'll ask why you let me think you were dead all these years." For the first few days of the journey, she left Dale's image on the cockpit flat screen, also feeding it through to a screen in the living quarters directly behind the cockpit. A reminder of who she sought and who she had lost. But seeing him there only confused her more, so by day 5, she left the screen blank. Lannery had visited Calamar twice over the past 4 years. The first time was to act as mediator in a troublesome deal between 3 landmass developers, all of them bickering over an island called Hang Laden in the planet's vast southern ocean. Normally, a Jedi would not have been concerned with such matters, but the Jedi Council had sent Lannery because of the island's suspected archaeological importance. Though the island appeared bare, it was believed that an ancient structure, possibly of Gree origin, existed 1 kilometer beneath the surface. Her presence had been resented, but she had taken an active role in the negotiations, ensuring that each of the 3 interested parties had a portion of land to develop. More important, she had covertly protected the cave network that might lead deep down to that ruin from ancient history. The Force illusions she had left behind of rock falls and impassable ravines would last for 100 years. Her second time on Calamar had been less peaceful. That time, her sword had been wetted with blood. Even so, she did not pretend for a moment that she knew this place. A good Jedi was always on guard and ready for surprises, especially a Jedi on a mission as important as hers. As she entered the atmosphere and her computer contacted air traffic control, she saw 2 Calamar defense ships shadowing her 30 kilometers away. They would be no threat. It was more likely that the pilots were excited at spotting a peacemaker, and they'd go home that night to tell their families and friends that they'd seen a Jedi arrive. They followed for the next hour, and just before peeling away, they made contact. She replied with a gentle push of grace and humor, responding to them while revealing nothing. "If we met in a tavern, we might even be friends," she thought, smiling. It was a subtle Jedi talent, but one that often served her well. They disappeared from her screen when she was more than 100 kilometers from her destination. She approached Rahul Yon above a startling azure sea. The peacemaker shuddered as she passed across the waves. She was so low that spray from the sea misted the windows, but she enjoyed flying like this. Out in space, there was no context. She could fly for days with the starscape changing hardly at all. Depth was infinite, and distances were so vast that her mind could barely grasp them. But down here, she was close to something. Sometimes closeness mattered. Rahul Yon had been built on an archipelago stretching out into the Southern Ocean. There were 5 large islands and countless smaller ones, all of them developed, and hundreds of bridges, both large and small, spanned the spaces between landmasses. Gleaming white spires reached stark fingers to the sky, and several classes of cloud chaser airships drifted between them like lazy birds flocking around ash trees back on Tython. Lower down, buildings and streets clung to the islands and sometimes protruded out over the ocean on slender stilts, and beautifully wrought bridges stood in isolation over the waterways. Ships dotted the ocean, and the inner waterways were busy with smaller watercraft. The white metal spires pulsed here and there with colored lights, illuminated even during daytime to identify an island, a building, or a street. It was an attractive city, and most of its money came from tourism. People traveled from all over Kalamar to holiday on Rahul Yon. And with tourists came the vultures and parasites who preyed on them. She was directed to a landing platform on a high tower on one of the outer islands. There were scores of gracefully wrought landing pads and bays around the tower, and exterior elevators whisked